My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Area 45 is in the loop today.
Yeah.
Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, in behind the glass, they got Chris Santiago. Nighttime is daytime, starting now.
Invasion! Yeah, baby, how you like that? Area 45, 10 to 2. Sean Bajani, that is me, he is him, Patrick Creighton. Man, I'm glad to be here, dude, with you. It's weird. Now, it's a quick turnaround. Still didn't get any sleep today.
What is sleep? We'll sleep when we're dead.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean,
we're literally standing next to the living embodiment of sleep when he's dead, because Sean Pendergast does not sleep.
No, but he's cool with that. He's a freaking machine, man.
You know, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, Sean's on the X.
This is where...
2 o'clock in the morning, Sean's on the X. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, Sean's here.
Patrick, as you know, the 5 hours of sleep that I do get are tremendous because of Dr. Ben Salento.
Yeah, they are.
5, I call BS. I think you get like 3.5 or 4. Good sleep.
I'll tell you what, that 5 hours feels like a full night. When you go from, 1 hour, all right, I'm awake again, roll over. Sleep 1 hour, wake up, son of a... Yeah, it's misery, dude.
So you had an interesting interaction with a young lady this morning already that apparently was still half asleep.
The future of our country is friggin' doomed.
Yeah, no, what did you say?
And it's got nothing to do with politics. It has to do with dumb people.
This is a girl in her 20s.
So the girl, probably in her early 20s,
mm-hmm.
She was a well-rounded woman.
Okay.
And... I'm at the gas station. I'm going, hey, I want to go, get gas my car. And this guy in front of me, he says, hey, the guy says, hey, I want to get 45 on 5. And he hands her $45. Okay. Now, this woman actually has someone training behind her. So someone is learning
from this
woman.
Yeah.
It took her, and I'm not even exaggerating because I actually timed it on my watch, 4 minutes to count $45. Sean, there were 220s.
Now, the guy didn't hang around, did he?
No, he handed her the money okay. And went to go put gas in his car. It took her 4 minutes to count $45 when there were 220s. I mean, literally, she's like moving the dollar bill, moving the dollar. Oh, and then, she lost count. So then she starts over. 20, 40. Oh.
Man, those ones are tricky, huh?
And then she lost count again.
Gosh.
And then she turns around and looks at the girl behind her, and she's like, just give me a minute. And then she hits something on the register, and then she starts to count again. And she gets like 42, and then,
stop it right now.
Like, what is going
you
on?
You were being tested this morning, my friend.
I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, how long is this going to go on?
All right, now did
the
you...
The girl training behind her, who's training...
Mm-hmm.
Is looking at me, and I'm looking at her like, is this the dumbest human being in the entire city?
Were you on your best behavior? Did you
I actually said nothing.
Wow.
Now, I cannot account for what the expressions on my face said, but I said, I verbalized nothing at all.
Yeah.
And when 4 minutes finally elapsed and she finally opened the cash drawer again, I was like, all right, let me get $20 on eight.
You know, I think we all kind of find ourselves in those situations, and we'll tell our friends that, you know, what we were thinking as if that's what we'd said and how we confronted that situation and voiced our impatience and anger. But for me, like 10 times out of 10, I'm not saying anything unless I am in a mood and I have to be vocal about this. You know, I'm just like in one of those, I don't give a, you know what.
I got to tell you, Sean, if you can't count to 45 with two 20s, mm-hmm. whatever witty retort that I'm about to pop out, you're not going to understand it anyway.
Yeah, you're not going to get it. But it'll make you feel better sometimes. It'll make you feel better. I don't want to create further, situations. I don't want to create a bad situation because I'm the kind of person that'll eat at me, you know, for the next hour or two, and I'll just walk around angry, and that's not healthy. That's not good. But good job by you for letting that roll off your chest, man.
Man, I'm telling you, I am so scared for the future of this country because so many of our young people are just
confirmed
dumb AF.
Yeah, yeah. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, we are Area 45. If you'd like to be a part of the show, man, that's what we do. Phone lines, bam, are wide open. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You could tweet at us as well, at P. Creighton, the number one, at Sean Bajani for myself, Twitch, YouTube. Watch us up there. The Strohs last night, PC, behind Spencer Arrighetti. Boy, they found themselves in a hole early. And boy, they clawed back. They were down 7-0, and Yordan Alvarez, there were other contributors, certainly, but he had the biggest swing of the bat last night, a 3-run shot in the fifth inning that got the Strohs back in that ball game. And I don't know about you, but I felt like they were going to do this thing because this is the never-say-die kind of attitude that we've watched them play with now over the course of the last month, and it just felt like, you know what, why not? There is nothing this team can't overcome, whether it be another poor start by Arrighetti, who this was the third time all season that he'd given up at least 6 earned runs in a game. And Strohs hadn't picked him up before. Last night, it looked like they were going to do it, and they fell just short, 7-6.
Did you say a bad word?
No.
The dump button's flashing like we dumped.
No. Why? Did Chris, did you dump me?
No, I did not dump you.
Huh, what happened?
Did you dump me?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't touch that dump button. It's why we're just recharging, you know? You know how it goes.
But usually it recharges after we've hit it to dump something. Well, what did we dump?
I didn't touch it, so.
Jordan?
Okay, it's back. It's back to normal.
Yeah, it's back.
Did you dump us, Jordan? Jordan's like, I didn't do nothing.
You know, I'm sitting in J-Lo's spot today, and he doesn't have a dump button. Maybe something's kind of fishy there. You know, it's like the lights work. There you go. See, my mic is on and off. That works. Nothing happened. That's all I did. I didn't say anything. It's too early for that. It's 10:07, man. I haven't gotten riled up yet.
I don't know. I probably came out of the womb saying things like that. But
oh, that's guaranteed, bro. Holy. Yeah. See, I almost got it. So what'd you think? I mean, what'd you think of the Strohs last night? That never say die attitude. If there's two guys that are encompassing that right now, by the way, for me, it's Altuve and Yordan. I don't know what it is, but they're playing with a little more piss and vinegar these days.
Man, I absolutely loved the fact that they were down 7-0 and this looked like a game where it's like, all right, you know what? We need Arrighetti to get through 4 innings because bullpen is super taxed.
Yeah.
He's just going to have to eat it. And if we lose this game, we lose this game. I've got to reset the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the underbelly of the pen. They got 4 not only shutout innings, but hitless innings.
Yeah.
Which fantastic. Allowed them to claw their way back into the game. The offense decided not to enter slumber mode, down 7-0. And they fought back. They got to 7-6. And you love the way they fought back. You love the fact they made the White Walkers, that's the Blue Jays for those of you keeping score at home, we know you are. The Toronto White Walkers, they made the White Walkers have to burn their high-leverage relievers in a game that they led 7-0.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think there can be, you know, small victories within the war, if you will. You can win the battle. And I just think from a usage standpoint last night, I mean, no sooner did you say, well, you know, this is one of those games where you're just trying to get through it now. Maybe this is a Seth Martinez night, a Luis Contreras night, a Brian King night, and you play out the fiddle and you could still win the series with wins today and tomorrow. And no sooner did you say that this ball club, Jordan specifically, was like, come on, man, this game ain't over. I love that. I think it inspires guys. I don't think there is a situation this season, even within a game PC, that this club doesn't feel like they can't overcome. And it's kind of familiar territory for me. I always point to 2017, and that was a really good start by the Astros that year. They were off to a fantastic start. World Series year. They were great all season long. Didn't really deal with any injuries, certainly not to this degree. But there was a game against Minnesota where they'd found themselves down like 7-2 or something ridiculous like that. Seventh inning, rain delay happens. Springer's at the plate, 2-strike count. 15-minute delay, he comes back and laces like a 2-run double. Long story short, Stros come back and win that ball game, like 9-8 or 8-7, whatever it was. And I always point to that game because they looked dead in the water. And look, that was a really good ball club that year. They had that clutch gene, no doubt. But the clutch gene is something that has escaped this ball club for much of this season. And it feels like they're getting it back. And everybody kind of seems to be clicking on all cylinders right now between Jordan and Yiner and Altuve. And it's amazing to me still that they're doing this without Kyle Tucker. And they might have to be doing it without Kyle Tucker for another few weeks, according to Joe Espada.
Yeah, and you think about it, they just had their best month of the season, 17-8, and they did it without Christian Javier.
Yeah.
And they did it without Jose Urquidy. And they did it without J.P. France. And they did it without Justin Verlander for half the month. And they did it without Kyle Tucker. And they've continued to perform despite not having any of those guys. They also haven't gotten Garcia and McCullers back yet either. And, look, this is a team that you look at the pitching injuries they have had. The fact that they've crawled out of the hole, right? They've gotten out from as all of 12 games under.
Mm, yeah. It's
they've crawled out from that hole despite putting a rotation and a half on the IL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's another team in baseball that could have done that.
Yeah.
And we still had to say, all right, well, we don't know who the fifth starter is. If they had any pitchers, we wouldn't be sure who the fourth starter is because, look, yeah. And Arrigetti is supposed to be pitching at AAA right now.
Mm-hmm.
He is supposed to be, you know, a guy who would get called up, say, mid-August after pitching, you know, almost a full season at AAA, refining his stuff, getting his confidence, getting everything, all his repertoire down. Not pitching in the major leagues ahead of schedule because, well, dang it, Bobby, we don't have anyone else. So it's kind of crazy in that regard. I mean, they brought up Jake Bloss because, well, dang it, Bobby, there's nobody else to pitch. And sure, he winds up on the IL. And this has kind of been like a mark of their season, right? Every time they start to get a couple of wins together, a guy gets hurt. And then they give back everything they gained. And then they start winning it, and then a guy gets hurt, and they give back everything they gained. This is the first time they have managed to not give it back.
Yeah, still a little bit of a ways to go to the All-Star break, and that can't get here fast enough. It's just, if you're the Astros right now and Dana Brown, and there's clearly a number that's been readjusted, you have to believe in his head. I mean, hell, 2 weeks ago, Dana Brown was talking about, boy, we just got to get this thing cut in half. By the All-Star break, or maybe he'd said, "Help!" By the end of July, I think he said by the end of the July, the trade deadline.
He wanted to be like, you know, cut the deficit in half. It was 10 at the time.
Yeah, it was 10.
You know, be closer to 500.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've accomplished those things entering the month.
Yes.
So it becomes at this point, all right. Well, can you continue to build on that? Is there more for you there in tow? And you know, it really kind of gets to how do they manage the pitching? Everything winds up, how do they manage the pitching? They don't have a fifth starter right now, and your fourth starter is inconsistent as hell. So I said, you know, I noticed that Johnny Cueto got he was able to get released. He basically told the team, he had that 60-day clause, hey, if I'm not on the Major League roster, I have the right to request my release.
Yeah.
So he requested his release. Now, he's had like four or five pretty good starts at AAA. He's had two brutal starts at AAA. And for a guy who is 38 years old, but has a ton of Major League experience,
mm-hmm.
and can give you the five innings, and will cost you the Major League minimum, and will not cost you any compensation anyway, why not take a flyer on that guy? He's already stretched out. He's ready to go. All you got to do is give him a minimum salary for what equates to what? 2 months? You're really asking him to take the ball for you every fifth day and just give you five innings for 2 months.
Yeah, and it might be less than that, PC,
and
to
if
be
he
honest
stinks,
with you.
Bye.
Sure,
and if
exactly.
he's good, great, I get 2 months out of him.
Sure, but you know, more help might be on the way for the Astros inside of the next month. And so you might not need Cueto or a guy like that for the long haul.
No, it not depends. For the long haul, but for the immediate time, like you've got to get through this month.
You do, and I think you mentioned this last night. It's a great point. There's a reason why the Astros were forced to go to a guy not even on anybody's radar in Jake Bloss. I mean, you'd been talking about A.J. Blueball, but he's kind of struggled with command a little bit. Bloss is a little bit better at that, and they figured, you know what? A guy that's played in 12 professional baseball games since we drafted him last year, he's more ready than anybody else that we have in the system. And we need him to come up and make a spot start or two or three, I think, is probably the initial thought. And the guy barely gets through one before he lands himself on the IL. The Astros, you know, don't have very many other routes to take. And so if it is a guy like Johnny Cueto and insert, you know, other guy, I mean, over the course of the next week or so, there are guys going to be starting to come available as teams are reworking their roster, whether they're going to determine if we're buyers or sellers. That's going to be much more definitive for Major League Baseball teams going in and coming out of the break. I wouldn't hate Cueto. I love the experience. I love the fact that the guy, you know, is actually coming off a pretty good year last year. I think he pitched for the White Sox last year. It wasn't half bad. Had some starts for the Fish earlier this season. You mentioned what he's done in AAA. Innings. You need innings. Like, somebody to get into what has become one of the best bullpens in all of Major League Baseball as we had it drawn up. And now the offense is starting to kind of reciprocate and complement that gritty, some of those gritty pitching performances that the Astros have been getting. That, I'm not going to say it's the only option, but it's a pretty damn good option.
I just look at it as it is a extreme, there's a no risk move.
Yeah, no, 100%.
You need
great
arms.
Way to put it.
It's a no risk move.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes in and he stinks, you let him go. But it costs you one game. It costs you his salary for one game.
Yeah.
It's not, you need bodies.
You do.
And they don't have bodies.
Quality, veteran, proven.
And you know what? If he goes out there and he throws five innings and he gives up three runs, that's better than a bullpen day.
That's my definition of a quality start in 2020.
I mean, aren't they? They're still basically feeling the side effects of a bullpen day.
Yeah.
Even yesterday when they put up the graphic of who's pitched, how many days, how many pitches, you're looking at that graphic going, holy hell, who's available?
Right. Nobody. That's what it was last night.
That's why Contreras and Seth Martinez went a combined four innings yesterday.
Mm-hmm. 713-572-4610, how you can join us. You can call or text. Coming up next, you can book it. Astros are definitely going to add at the trade deadline, says one MLB analyst. Who and why they're so adamant. That's next. It's Area 45, Sports Radio 610.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style.
you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go. A-Town.
Sports Radio 610.
Area 45's in the loop today, baby. Sean Bajani, that is me. He is him. Patrick Creighton. Chris right. Santiago.
We got John Lopez locked in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. He's probably fishing somewhere. Gone fishing. Chris Santiago, producer extraordinaire, is here. He's badass. Get to know him. You can hit us up, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text throughout the show. Hit us up on Twitter as well, at Pete Creighton, the number one, at Sean Bajani for myself, Twitch, YouTube. And don't forget, take us wherever you go just by downloading the Odyssey app for free. Rewind feature allows you to never miss a thing. On Sports Radio 610. Breaking news about 3 minutes ago from Adrian Wojnarowski. Lakers very busy today, signing LeBron James to a two-year, $104 million contract, no trade clause, and a player option.
That way they could do it all again next year.
Yeah, if they so choose. It's going to be a really interesting follow for the Lakers.
Just start calling them the Hollywood James? Not the LA Lakers, just the Hollywood James.
The Jimmies. They're not done. They're trying to put together an all-star cast of characters on the coaching staff to go along with their new head coach, J.J. Redick. Moments ago, Adrian Wojnarowski citing sources saying the Lakers are hiring Nate McMillan and former Rocket point guard extraordinaire Scotty Brooks as top assistant coaches on Redick's new staff. Redick gets two longtime head coaching vets with a combined 1,189 victories to surround him. That was always going to be the case, but you apparently heard, PC, that the Lakers have kind of struck out. Like, they're used to striking out. They've missed on some top-flight free agents earlier this offseason, Klay Thompson being one of them, reportedly backing away from an $80 million offer from the Lakers to sign for $30 million less to play for the Southern Oklahoma Mavericks. Jonas Valanciunas, who they'd missed on. James Harden was a big target that was rumored to be of interest by the Lakers. Well, they get Bronny James in the draft at 55th overall. They got a new head coach, got McMillan, got Brooks, and They locked up Bronny James, by the way. Four-year guaranteed contract worth just over $7 million.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Love you.
But he's earned it. He's earned it all by himself. All by his lonesome. He's earned every last penny. Yeah. Okay. Whatever, man. Whatevs.
Do you earn things if you're just like a member of the Lucky Sperm Club?
Do you earn things if you're just given things for no reason at all because your dad is LeBron James? Like, have you ever been in a situation where you knew you didn't deserve like an opportunity, like to start on your baseball team or your hockey team, or you knew you didn't deserve this job, but you know what? It's for whatever reason, you don't even question it. It's just like, all right, I'm going to step in and do the best I can.
I did once start on a football team that I should not have been starting on. But the reason I was starting was because the three guys ahead of me on the depth chart were all hurt. So it was kind of like I started by attrition.
Yeah, you were kind of like Jake Bloss for the Astros. It's like there's no other place to go.
I feel 100% confident that the coaches, you know, saw another player go down. Like, who's next? Oh, crap. Fine, get a helmet. Please don't kill us.
Nobody was more excited than little old PC.
And I probably played better than I ever did that season. Like, I had like five picks. I don't think I had five picks my entire life to that point.
That's awesome.
I had five picks.
Chip on your shoulder.
Dude, three of them were the kind where literally the ball hit me in the chest because it was just a terrible pass, and the ball just hit me in the chest, and all I had to do was not drop it.
And?
I did not drop it.
There you go, but you got smoked.
My issues were not I couldn't catch. My issues were I was short. And I was slow.
Yeah, not a good
catching was fun. I could catch. That's Brock Osweiler. I caught a pass from Brock Osweiler in training camp.
Oh, God.
Did you
catch it or it caught you?
No, I actually caught this one. They were working on red zone drills, mm-hmm. and Brock, the ever accurate quarterback that he was.
Oh, hit you wide open on the sideline.
Overthrew the receiver, and you know how in the bubble all the media were all lined up on one side. I reached my hands out and I snatched the ball right out of the air and pulled it in.
Look at that.
And everybody looked around like, oh, did you catch that? And I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, like this was not a hard thrown ball. I mean, Brock didn't exactly have a cannon for an arm.
I was going to say, you probably didn't end that situation going, ow.
And no, and this was an old, I mean, this was a practice ball. This ball been around the block.
Deflate game ball. Yeah.
No, it was just so like crummy. And Rich Walker, who runs the weight management, weight loss program for the NFL Alumni Association.
Yeah, yeah.
Started making memes of putting my head on DeAndre Hopkins' body. It was just funny.
That's great.
And, yeah, so I can actually say I've caught a pass from an NFL quarterback, even if I am using the term NFL quarterback very loosely.
From when it comes to Osweiler. Get out of here. Doesn't count.
What if I caught it from Case Keenum?
Case, go Cougs. That's an all-timer right there. You go to training camp, you might have an opportunity to catch a ball or two from Case this
year.
Yeah,
I will tell you that the difference in my health from then to now means I will spend most of my time at training camp fully covered and hopefully under a tent.
Yeah, AC tents, man. They're there.
The son and I, we are not friends.
Yeah.
We're not even like frenemies. We are just like mortal enemies.
You're mortal enemies, yes, as it's turning into that for me as well.
I mean, I got the whole fishing shirt on with the hood and everything.
The long sleeve.
Fishing shirt with the hood when I'm out of training camp.
I need
Absolutely.
To get one of those hats, like the big floppy hat, like the fishing hats.
Like a bucket hat?
Yeah, a bucket hat. But like a big one.
Yeah.
I need a big one.
Just ask Lopez. He's got to have 30 of them.
Yeah, I believe so. He should.
Yeah.
I have one, but I didn't bring it, so.
I mean, those come in handy. I don't care what I look like. If I got to be out at it, man, which I am pretty regular, need that thing. I've been putting it off. Ken Rosenthal.
Bring a bat. You know what? We all have access to the gym down here. Showers are clean.
I know. And
pack a bag, come into work, clean. Oh, thank God.
I need to go.
When you come out of camp and it'll be like 100 degrees, but because you're just standing out there, it feels like it's 120.
I know.
And it doesn't matter. You are just going to sweat through everything.
Well, sure, and you're just standing there. It's the
worst. You leave there, and you come here, and you literally feel like you've been slimed. It's like, all right, there is a shower. Thank you, baby Jesus.
Yeah. I just, I never think to do that. But I will. I will definitely hit that up this training camp. Ken Rosenthal spoke on the MLB trade deadline, specifically how it's going to apply to the Astros. I thought it was pretty interesting that he was so adamant about this ball club doing something at the deadline. Take a listen.
This is a team that has come a long way, and it's really interesting how they've done it without Tucker and with Ronel Blanco and Hunter Brown as their big-time guys in the rotation. Those are not people you expected to be leading them at the start of the season. Can they catch Seattle? They absolutely can catch Seattle. And the Mariners are going to need to reinforce their offense. They know that. They're going through a little bit of a dry spell now, as all teams do. And the Astros, of course, are coming off a 17-8 June. They're hot. But they're the Astros. They have that pedigree. And we all sort of suspected this was coming. It's just hard to imagine the way it's happened without Tucker, without some of their several of their starters. I believe seven are still on the IL. So from that perspective alone, it's really impressive. They'll get McCullers back. They're getting Luis Garcia back. Hopefully Verlander comes back as well. It's a pretty interesting group, and they will not hold back at the deadline. They will try because they've done that repeatedly under Jim Crane in the past.
Adamant. Because they've done it in the past, though, is that enough for you to trust that Dana Brown, Jim Crane are going to ultimately be responsibly aggressive ahead or at the trade deadline coming up July 31st?
Well, you know what, Sean? We talked to Scott Miller from MLB Network Radio, and he says the Astros are going to buy. We've talked to Bob Nightingale from USA Today, and he says the Astros are going to buy. Now Ken Rosenthal from The Athletic says the Astros are going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should listen.
Well, Rosenthal, amongst all of them, was far more adamant about it because we talked to Nightingale multiple times on our show. And both times, at two very different portions of the season where the Astros were struggling. At one point in time, they were seven games back. Another, they were like eight and a half games back of the Mariners within the West at the time. And he even said, like, hey, right now, even at the trade deadline, if they're sitting in a similar spot where they're that far back, he would deem them as moderate buyers, even at that point in time. And here you are with an opportunity if you're the Astros. Beginning play today, you're three games behind the Mariners within the AL West. You're three games behind the Kansas City Royals for the third and final wildcard spot in the American League. And you've got an opportunity between now and just the All-Star break to take hold of one of, if not both of those positions.
I think they are, right now, moderate buyers. I don't see Dana Brown as a guy who is going to dump out his farm system for a rental. The wild card in this is Jim Crane.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because Jim Crane, it was the, you know, the impetus behind acquiring Justin Verlander. Jim Crane was the impetus behind acquiring Zach Greinke. Mm-hmm. So is Jim Crane going to assert himself and say, we're getting this guy and I don't give a damn and this is how it's going to go?
Yeah, well, we can't forget everything that has transpired over the course of the last month, which begged me to ask the question about, do you have restored faith in Jim Crane swallowing that pill, which was a tough one to swallow? Pay a guy $30 million in Jose Abreu to not play baseball for you. Has he reinstilled, like, the faith in you, in Dana Brown, that's going to allow him to do his job? We know about him as a talent evaluator. We don't really know about the Dana Brown as that aggressive general manager that is going to make some shrewd moves or some crafty moves, some savvy moves, a la, you know, James Click. It doesn't have to be a big splash, but is it going to be, you know, for the betterment of this squad, even if it's under the radar? We can talk about that. 713-572-4610. Also, saw this yesterday. I am so glad the Astros did not overpay for both of these guys. We'll tell you next at Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Try to make people happy on the show. I mean, that's why we like to interact with our listeners. You can hit us up, 713-572-4610. 572-4610. If we can meet your request, damn it, we're going to do it.
We are men of the people.
Somebody asked you, PC, from the 713, could you please take the red hat off of the beautiful woman behind you? I'd like to see the blonde and the brunette. And we've obliged. We had that silly, I don't know what you call this thing. Like, remember we were talking about a few weeks ago the massive shoes and pants and jacket that apparently, for whatever reason, Kanye, he's made so popular?
Yeah, yeah.
This would look fantastic on him, this massive, silly hat. What do you call this?
I don't know, but I like that hat.
It's the Great Gazoo hat.
Yeah, I need something like this to work outside in. Hell with the fishing hat. This is good shade.
All right, we're going to have a moment of truth here. Do you know who the Great Gazoo is?
I know the Great Gazoo.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I've heard of the Great Gazoo.
You've heard of him.
No, I know. Gazoo was on the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, thank God. Thank you, baby Jesus.
Yeah.
He finally got a reference. I'm so proud of you.
I'm starting to get my boy into the Flintstones. He's like, my boy's 4, and I am so sick and tired of Cars and Bluey and Daniel Tiger that I'm like, man, we need to get him like on Looney Tunes and Flintstones. And so we started that process.
Lion King.
Lion King for sure. I need to do that. Shrek. Is Minions appropriate for a 4?
Oh, yeah. Minions is awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I need to do all that. I was honestly watching.
It's out now. Just hit the movie theater. Like, you could go to the movies and see the new Minions movie.
Oh, I didn't know there was a new one. How many have they had? Is this like Star Wars where there's a billion of them? We were at the beach house this past weekend. And what were we watching? Finding Nemo.
Oh, Nemo's a good one.
He was fascinated with Finding Nemo.
So. First, I was like, whoa. And then I was like, whoa. And then I was like, whoa.
Yeah. That was great. And I was into it, too. That's the first cartoon movie that I've sat down and watched, not named Cars, in 20 years. It's pretty amazing.
Hey, I went through the same thing. My son, when he was, you know, your son's age, he knew how to reset it.
Yeah.
So you had to use DVDs back then. You couldn't just stream. There was no streaming. He knew. He put the DVD player in. It would autoplay. And then when the movie was over, it would say, play again.
Yeah.
It would light up, and he would just hit the triangle, and boom, there it goes.
Oh, genius. Yeah, I've started the rewind feature for him and pause because, no, fast forward. That's what it is. Because, you know, we pull all this stuff up on YouTube, and they play the damn ads, and, you know, there's commercials. And so I've taught him, like, all right, when you see skip ad, it looks like this. Just press the enter button. And he's pretty good at that. Like, my boy's sharp. So that way I don't have to do it all the time. Because I'll be off in the kitchen making him lunch or whatever, doing something. And he'll be like, Dad, can you make this go faster? And I'm like, man.
So apparently
every 5 minutes. I'm like, you do it.
Apparently it's a Despicable Me movie, not a Minions movie. But since the Minions are in Despicable Me.
Yeah, you could have fooled me. I thought it was the same thing, to be honest with you. But I'm getting there, man. Like, in a few years, I will have upped my movie game that's suitable to you and Chris Santiago.
Good, man. You need to.
I know I need to.
You need to.
So you got to get to that second episode of The Sopranos here or what?
Yeah, for real.
It's too much. I don't know how you have the time to watch all this stuff.
You make time.
Well, we had 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years. I didn't have HBO, man. I didn't have cable. I wasn't a big baller then. Now I got the box set.
Now you have the box set. So now,
shout out Irwin.
No excuse, man.
Yeah.
No excuse.
Yeah. Appreciate you, man. 713-572-4610. 572-4610. We got a texter asking a question a little bit ago. Do the Astros make a move with Toronto before they leave? Because you know there's been some rumors swirling around Vlad Guerrero Jr. I don't know how real that is. Now there's, you know, some reports that the Blue Jays are interested in, you know, talking extension with Vlad. But they've got a lot of future moves that they're going to have to decide on, whether it be Bo Bichette or George Springer or Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, you name it. They're in a tough spot, the Blue Jays are. They're just mired in an incredibly difficult division.
So the Jays are 7 out of the wild card, because let's not even bother with the division. They're double digits.
Yeah.
But they are behind the Court Jesters, the Blow Sox, the Astros, and the Poors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tied with the Junk Grabbers, with the Meows one game behind them.
Meow.
Now, did you guys understand all of that? Court Jesters are the Royals.
Yes.
The Blow Sox, the Red Sox.
Yes, that's my new favorite.
The Poors are the Rays. The White Walkers are the Jays. The Junk Grabbers are the Rangers. And the Meows are the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know that, shame on you. Write it down. Learn it.
It makes perfect sense. I'm actually more proud of the San Francisco Giants, which are not pertinent to this conversation, but I just love the little rainbows that we anointed them. That's my new favorite nickname for a Major League Baseball team. Well, I can't wait to figure out the NFL teams this upcoming season. We got about a month or so before we need to start seriously thinking about that. I saw this yesterday. Did you see your boy, Jordan Montgomery, placed on the 15-day IL? He's got a knee issue, knee inflammation, I believe. He is now the second to land himself on the IL. I feel like Blake Snell's been there for about a month. I don't know how much longer he's going to be on there. Two guys that the Astros, we wanted them, you wanted them to be heavily in on this offseason as they were dangling out there and you knew you needed pitching. Astros did not reach and overpay for those guys. In hindsight, sometimes it is a beautiful 2020, man. I'm glad the Astros didn't pull the trigger.
You know, I don't think that, listen, if you're signing a guy for 1 year and $20 million, I don't consider that an overpay. But what we've learned is that these pitchers who are, you know, had been rejected all offseason long for their massive contract demands and then ultimately wind up taking bridge deals, that these guys thought, hey, I don't need spring training. Let me just, you know, get my arm stretched out and I'm good to go. And what both Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery learned was, oh, damn, we need spring training.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thunk?
There's been countless examples of these types of situations over the years that we've seen, and this is the end result. Guys just aren't in shape. They can't sustain. I don't understand the business practice that it is, and listening to your agent, just wait, just wait. You're going to get a deal. You're going to get paid. We're going to make this happen for you. Great, you might, but you're going to be ass. And it's been that way for Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell. Two guys. I mean, you're talking about a two-time Cy Young Award winner in Blake Snell, right? And then Jordan.
He's the reigning Cy Young Award winner.
And then Jordan Montgomery, who was awesome.
He literally led the Junk Grabbers to a World Series last year.
Yeah, over your Astros along the way.
Dominated the Astros.
That hurt. That stung. And it's a beautiful thing when you can go get a guy that has done that to you and use them as now your weapon. But I'm glad the Astros did not do that, because that's always been, you know, some trepidation for me, is that, okay, you're going to go get these guys because you're desperate. You're desperate. You need arms. You knew you were going to be shorthanded already with no Garcia, no McCullers coming into the season. And then you find out about JV, you find out about Urquidy, and then France is behind, and the Astros very easily could have made one of those moves. And
this is why when you need to address these things in the actual offseason. Remember a couple of years ago, the Astros were short on pitching, and they signed Jake Odorizzi, who, look, his career basically is five-inning guy who takes the ball every fifth day and would be competitive for those 5 innings. And for whatever, they signed him really late in training, in spring training. They rush him through. They bring him up when he's nowhere near ready. He gets bombed twice, and then he's on the IL. Now, when he came off the IL for the rest of that season, he actually pitched pretty well. But you saw what happens when you take a pitcher and you rush them through getting them ready, and then you put them out in the major league games before they're really ready to go. They get beat up. Their command's not right. They're not in the shape they need to be in. And then they get hurt because they're trying to overcompensate for the fact they're not really ready by overdoing it.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Patrick Creighton.
We saw that with Snell, with Monk. Both of those guys literally suffered injuries because they weren't ready to pitch in major league games, and they've been pushing it.
Yes, 100%. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani. It's Area 45 in for In the Loop today. Coming up next, I want to talk about Reed Sheppard. He was officially introduced yesterday at Toyota Center. Got a chance to see him, many of you, for the first time and hear him. I was taken back watching the press conference yesterday, just how young this guy looks. I mean, you've seen him on a basketball court, but in a suit, my God, he looks like he's 12. I thought he had some really interesting things to say yesterday, along with his dad, Jeff. And we'll let you hear from both of those guys. And I think you could easily hear exactly why Ime Udoka and the Rockets love the fit. We'll do that next at Sports Radio 610.
Prom night.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Try to make people happy on the show. I mean, that's why we like to interact with our listeners. You can hit us up 713-572-4610. 572-4610. If we can meet your request, damn it, we're going to do it.
We are men of the people.
Somebody asked you, PC, from the 713, could you please take the red hat off of the beautiful woman behind you? I'd like to see the blonde and the brunette. And we've obliged. We had that silly, I don't know what you call this thing. Like, remember we were talking about a few weeks ago the massive shoes and pants and jacket that apparently, for whatever reason, Kanye he's made so popular?
Yeah, yeah.
This would look fantastic on him, this massive, silly hat. What do you call this?
I don't know, but I like that hat.
It's the Great Gazoo hat.
Yeah, I need something like this to work outside in. Hell with the fishing hat. This is good shade.
All right, we're going to have a moment of truth here. Do you know who the Great Gazoo is?
I know the Great Gazoo.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I've heard of the Great Gazoo.
You've heard of him.
No, I know. Gazoo was on the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, thank God. Thank you, baby Jesus.
Yeah.
He finally got a reference. I am so proud of you.
I'm starting to get my boy into the Flintstones. He's like, my boy's 4, and I am so sick and tired of Cars and Bluey and Daniel Tiger that I'm like, man, we need to get him like on Looney Tunes and Flintstones. And so we started that process.
Lion King.
Lion King for sure. I need to do that. Shrek. Is Minions appropriate for a 4?
Oh, yeah. Minions is awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I need to do all that. I was honestly watching.
It's out now. Just hit the movie theater. Like, you could go to the movies and see the new Minions movie.
Oh, I didn't know there was a new one. How many have they had? Is this like Star Wars where there's a billion of them? We were at the beach house this past weekend. And what were we watching? Finding Nemo.
Oh, Nemo's a good one.
He was fascinated with Finding Nemo. So.
First, I was like, whoa. And then I was like, whoa. And then I was like, whoa.
Yeah. That was great. And I was into it, too. That's the first cartoon movie that I've sat down and watched, not named Cars, in 20 years. It's pretty amazing.
Hey, I went through the same thing. My son, when he was, you know, your son's age, he knew how to reset it.
Yeah.
So you had to use DVDs back then. You couldn't just stream. There was no streaming. He knew. He put the DVD player in. It would autoplay. And then when the movie was over, it would say, play again.
Yeah.
It would light up. And he would just hit the triangle. And boom, there it goes.
Oh, genius. Yeah. I've started the rewind feature for him and pause because... No, fast forward. That's what it is. Because, you know, we pull this stuff up on YouTube and they play the damn ads and, you know, there's commercials. And so I've taught him, like, all right, when you see skip ad, it looks like this. Just press the enter button. And he's pretty good at that. Like, my boy's sharp. So that way I don't have to do it all the time. Because I'll be off in the kitchen making him lunch or whatever, doing something. And be like, Dad, can you make this go faster? And I'm like, man.
So apparently
every 5 minutes, I'm like, you do it.
Apparently it's a Despicable Me movie, not a Minions movie. But since the Minions are in Despicable Me.
Yeah, you could have fooled me. I thought it was the same thing, to be honest with you. But I'm getting there, man. Like, in a few years, I will have upped my movie game that's suitable to you and Chris Santiago.
Good, man. You need to.
I know I need to.
You need to.
So you got to get to that second episode of The Sopranos here or what?
Yeah, for real.
It's too much. I don't know how you have the time to watch all this stuff.
You make time. Well,
we had 7 years.
Yes. Yeah, 7 years. I didn't have HBO, man. I didn't have cable. I wasn't a big baller then. Now I got the box set.
Now you have the box set. So now,
shout out Irwin.
No excuse, man.
Yeah.
No excuse.
Yeah. Appreciate you, man. 713-572-4610. 572-4610. We got a texter asking a question a little bit ago. Do the Astros make a move with Toronto before they leave? Because you know there's been some rumors swirling around Vlad Guerrero Jr. I don't know how real that is. Now there's, you know, some reports that the Blue Jays are interested in, you know, talking extension with Vlad, but they've got a lot of future moves that they're going to have to decide on, whether it be Bo Bichette or George Springer or Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, you name it. They're in a tough spot. The Blue Jays are. They're just mired in an incredibly difficult division.
So the Jays are 7 out of the wild card, because let's not even bother with the division. They're double digits.
Yeah.
But they are behind the Court Jesters, the Blow Sox, the Astros, and the Poors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tied with the Junk Grabbers, with the Meows one game behind them.
Meow.
Now, did you guys understand all of that? Court Jesters are the Royals.
Yes.
The Blow Sox, the Red Sox.
Yes, that's my new favorite.
The Poors are the Rays. The White Walkers are the Jays. The Junk Grabbers are the Rangers. And the Meows are the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know that, shame on you. Write it down. Learn it.
It makes perfect sense. I'm actually more proud of the San Francisco Giants, which are not pertinent to this conversation, but I just love the little rainbows that we anointed them. That's my new favorite nickname for a Major League Baseball team. I can't wait to figure out the NFL teams this upcoming season. We got about a month or so before we need to start seriously thinking about that. I saw this yesterday. Did you see your boy, Jordan Montgomery, placed on the 15-day IL? He's got a knee issue, knee inflammation, I believe. He is now the second to land himself on the IL. I feel like Blake Snell's been there for about a month. I don't know how much longer he's going to be on there. Two guys that the Astros, we wanted them, you wanted them to be heavily in on this offseason as they were dangling out there and you knew you needed pitching. Astros did not reach and overpay for those guys. In hindsight, sometimes it is a beautiful 2020, man. I'm glad the Astros didn't pull the trigger.
You know, I don't think that, listen, if you're signing a guy for 1 year and $20 million, I don't consider that an overpay. But what we've learned is that these pitchers who are, you know, had been rejected all offseason long for their massive contract demands and then ultimately wind up taking bridge deals, that these guys thought, hey, I don't need spring training. Let me just, you know, get my arm stretched out and I'm good to go. And what both Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery learned was, oh, damn, we need spring training.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thunk?
There's been countless examples of these types of situations over the years that we've seen, and this is the end result. Guys just aren't in shape. They can't sustain. I don't understand the business practice that it is, and listening to your agent, just wait, just wait. You're going to get a deal. You're going to get paid. We're going to make this happen for you. Great, you might, but you're going to be ass. And it's been that way for Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell. Two guys. I mean, you're talking about a two-time Cy Young Award winner in Blake Snell, right? And then Jordan.
He's the reigning Cy Young Award winner.
Reigning Cy Young Award winner. And then Jordan Montgomery, who was awesome.
He literally led the Junk Grabbers to a World Series last year.
Yeah, over your Astros along the way.
Dominated the Astros.
That hurt. That stung. And it's a beautiful thing when you can go get a guy that has done that to you and use them as now your weapon. But I'm glad the Astros did not do that, because that's always been, you know, some trepidation for me, is that, okay, you're going to go get these guys because you're desperate. You're desperate. You need arms. You knew you were going to be shorthanded already with no Garcia, no McCullers coming into the season. And then you find out about JV, you find out about Urquidy, and then France is behind, and the Astros very easily could have made one of those moves. And
this is why when you need to address these things in the actual offseason. Remember a couple of years ago, the Astros were short on pitching, and they signed Jake Odorizzi, who, look, his career basically is five-inning guy who takes the ball every fifth day and would be competitive for those 5 innings. And for whatever, they signed him really late in training, in spring training. They rush him through. They bring him up when he's nowhere near ready. He gets bombed twice, and then he's on the IL. Now, when he came off the IL for the rest of that season, he actually pitched pretty well. But you saw what happens when you take a pitcher and you rush them through getting them ready, and then you put them out in the major league games before they're really ready to go. They get beat up. Their command's not right. They're not in the shape they need to be in. And then they get hurt because they're trying to overcompensate for the fact they're not really ready by overdoing it.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Patrick and Creighton.
We saw that with Snell, with Monk, both of those guys literally suffered injuries because they weren't ready to pitch in major league games, and they've been pushing it.
Yes, 100%. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani. It's Area 45 in for In the Loop today. Coming up next, I want to talk about Reed Sheppard. He was officially introduced yesterday at Toyota Center. Got a chance to see him, many of you, for the first time and hear him. I was taken back watching the press conference yesterday, just how young this guy looks. I mean, you've seen him on a basketball court, but in a suit, my God, he looks like he's 12. I thought he had some really interesting things to say yesterday, along with his dad, Jeff. And we'll let you hear from both of those guys. And I think you could easily hear exactly why Ime Udoka and the Rockets love the fit. We'll do that next at Sports Radio 610.
Prom night.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.